Three, two, one. Okay, welcome to the SBH podcast. In this podcast, we're going to be talking about pencil poppers. Pencil poppers are a very versatile plug because they can do a lot. And they're one of my favorite plugs and one of my favorite go-to plugs for fishing for striped bass in general. And, you know, the cool thing about the pencil popper is there's so many different little variations to it. And lots of different companies make tons and tons and tons of pencils. And a lot of them are incredibly, incredibly good. I've had extraordinary amount of luck catching giant fish on them and getting other people on giant fish with them. It's one of my favorite things to do is to really throw topwater plugs for striped bass because they're such an aggressive fish and you can see how they just hate pencils. I've seen bass go airborne, trying to eat the plug off the surface of the water, jumping 4 or 5 feet out of the water. I've seen bass, hit it, come up and whack it with their tail, kind of breach on it like a whale. It's pretty crazy what they'll do, especially when they're big. I like to call it, it's like a big bass breach. When a big fish is going after a topwater, whether it be a walking plug or just a normal just chugging like topwater, if it's a really big fish and they're coming from the side, sometimes they'll do this big roll and they'll like breach on it. It's really cool. That's one of my favorite things to see from a striped bass when it's like really aggressively feeding is when they start rolling on the plug. You know, if the bass misses it the first time and it rolled on it, most of the time it comes back after that. I've had a lot of scenarios where I've had them absolutely inhale pencils. And the cool thing about that is, you know, the fish have to be pretty aggressive to be eating the plug fully. And, you know, and I've always wondered, when a pencil is being worked, do they think that the head of the pencil is here or do they think the head of the pencil is here? That's something that I've always wondered. I mean, I've seen pencils that the eyes of the plug are actually here and it's the eyes of the plugs are not where the line is getting tied down to. And so I wonder, you know, I've always thought like, is the eye of the plug or where the bass think the head of the fish is it up here or is it back here? And most of the time when the bass are coming in, they're going to hit your pencil. They're going to hit it in the middle somewhere. And I've found that's generally the case. The bass are coming in, they'll just hit the middle of the plug. I've had a lot of luck with pencils. But the cool thing is, these plugs just catch fish. They straight out, you know, just catch fish and they get the bass riled up. There's, you know, scenarios where nothing else is working. You know, it's completely, you know, broad daylight out and not a cloud in the sky. And you need to do something that really will attract the fish up to investigate, if not eat the plug. And the cool thing about a pencil is you can tell if a fish is there regardless, because a lot of the time when you're working a topwater plug, you can see a bass swirling behind it and you'll know if there's a big fish following it up. But the thing about pencils are when you're a beginner, they're extremely difficult for a beginner surf caster to learn how to use because they're not, you know, I would say they're probably when I was on the, not re- like after I got past the stage of knowing how to cast a rod, they're probably one of the more difficult plugs for me to figure out how to use. And coming from a background of having no one there to teach me, having to learn everything online about surf casting, I was having to teach myself how do you work a pencil. And after I did that, I found kind of the best way to teach it to people because it's the most you know, it's just the easiest to understand. And when you're talking to someone that has no knowledge of how of working a pencil popper and has rarely done it, you can get them on some serious, serious fish. And I'll get into a story later about that. But I'm just going to go over how I work a pencil. And the best way, in my opinion, the best way to either teach someone or learn yourself how to use a pencil popper, and because I know a lot of people out there have friends and stuff and they want to take them fishing. Now, the coolest thing is when you take someone fishing for the first time, like really fishing for striped bass, and they're, you give them a topwater lure and they see a bass go airborne on a plug, that generally makes them lose their minds. Okay, so I'm just grabbing my rod here. I guess I'll go into gear a little bit later, but let's just start on how to work the plug. I'm standing up here. I don't know. We'll see how this works. So when you're working a pencil popper, I'm just trying to get to where you guys can see everything. So you can see my reel and everything here. So what I want to do is I want to have my hand, my guide hand, I guess, the hand that's holding the on the rod. I'd either, depending on how long the grip is of your rod, I would say just like a hand above the grip to maybe two hands above the grip of the rod. And the goal of that is what you're trying to do is you're trying to shake the tip of your rod. The tip of your rod should be bouncing back and forth about a foot. You know, I'd say depending on how light action your rod is, if you have a very light action rod, you might have to whip it harder in order to work a pencil. So the reason I'm saying you need to, the thing about rods is you have to work rods, or you have to work the plugs that you are using to your rod. It's very difficult to work a large pencil with a super light action rod, even though that rod could claim that it can throw 8 ounces. If it has a super whippy tip to the rod, it's gonna be very difficult to work the pencil. And if it's super stiff, if it's an incredibly stiff rod, it is also going to be very difficult to work the pencil. You kind of want that happy medium, and because you want it to be able to be flexible enough. So I like to say that a lot of rods that you can eel with, so a lot of eeling rods, a lot of little bit heavier rods are really good pencil popping rods. I wouldn't go as far as jigging rods. Jigging rods are too heavy for me, but there are rods that are lighter that if you're throwing a smaller pencil, they're gonna be awesome with. The small Pumbaa pencil, so this is a medium size, so there's one that's a little bit smaller than this. The small Pumbaa pencil, I use very small rods throwing, and that is it's a lighter plug, and it's not very, it doesn't have a lot of mass that you have to move around because it's like what, maybe 5-6 inches? And so the plug is very easy to work, where if you're throwing something that's medium size, you don't necessarily want to be using a super light rod. But having that softer tip will help you when working the plug, but you don't want it to be so soft that you can't actually give it the action. I know that's kind of difficult to understand. You'll have to kind of get the feel for it, but you'll know what I'm saying when you're talking about like using plugs in general. So I'm a rod here. Trying to like see this on camera. I like to wiggle the rod. It's kind of in a rhythm. So what you're trying to do is get the rod tip to bounce in a rhythm. I'm just gonna step out of frame here and put the rod tip into frame. So you guys can kind of see what I'm talking about when I'm talking about fishing with a rhythm. So here's the tip of my rod here in the frame right now. I want it to be about a foot. You see that? It's about a foot. It might be a little bit blurry, but when I'm working it, the tip of my rod is about a foot away. I am gonna do a video on this, a quick tip on my YouTube channel that will be coming out sometime later this week, hopefully. And so I should be able to show you guys a little bit better on how to work pencils. So that's how far I want like the tip of your rod to be moving. And now this was the most difficult thing for me to understand was the reeling part of this. Really, when I'm working my pencil, I only want to be reeling to the point, I'm sorry, I'm wearing all black and I have a black fishing reel and it's just, you can't really see it on the camera. But what I want to be reeling just enough to keep tension to the plug. I don't want to be reeling so fast that I'm physically moving the plug in. I want your pumps of your rod to be pulling the plug forwards and you keeping tension to the line. So when I'm working the pencil, I have my rod just above, my rod hand just above the grip of the rod. And which some people like holding onto the line because they think it's gonna help like line twist. I've never really had a problem with that or seen it where like, unless I have, I've had line that I have all sorts of trouble with, and that's why I don't use line that gives me a lot of line twist, because that will happen regardless of what you're throwing. 90% of the time, that has to do with your actual cast itself. If you have a wonky cast, sometimes what will happen is your plug's spinning or you're creating a loop because you're giving it some slack and whip when you're casting. And what will happen is that will create a little knot and will become a wind knot. But for this right now, I'm reeling my rod. I'm working the plug. I'm trying to do this in frame. Maybe you should step. It's kind of hard to show because I have all these plugs here. But is this good? Yeah, here we go. So I'm working my plug. I'm reeling at a steady pace. It's kind of in frame. So I'm trying to work at a steady pace here. I'm reeling like just enough to maintain contact with the plug. That's the best I can explain it. And when I am teaching people that don't fish and have never used a pencil popper before, I always say when you're fishing with a pencil popper, what you want to do is you want to imagine that you're just keeping contact with the plug. You're not necessarily reeling the plug in, because that was the biggest mistake I had, is that I was working, I was reeling too fast when I was trying to work the pencil and it didn't get into this rhythm. And what you'll see is when you're working the plug, you'll feel the plug tug the line and you'll feel your rod tip bounce up and pull the plug back to straight, and you get this rhythm going. And once you understand the rhythm of how fast do I need to work the top of my rod for the plug that you're using. So if you're using a plug that is super heavy, you might have to do a lighter, just literally it's just the wrist going up like that, up and down really lightly. But then if you're using a plug that is super heavy, or you're using a rod that is extremely stiff, you might have to really like get your hand going. I posted a video on my Instagram. I was using my ODM Jigstar and I was hooking into a big fish and I was trying to pull it out of rocks. Now that rod is way too heavy for pencil popping, in my opinion. There's other people, you know, like when I bought it at the tackle store that I bought it at, I won't say where, but like I bought it at the tackle store and they're like, this is a good pencil popping rod. And I was like, I was like, yeah, sure, it's a good pencil popping rod. But when I started to use it more, I was like, man, my arm is so tired after I've been pencil popping. And it's not the fact that I'm using too heavy plugs, and it's not the fact that I'm using too light plugs. It's just the fact that the rod itself is so stiff that you have to get so much action. You have to like move your the hand that you're guiding the rod up and down with so aggressively that to even get the plug to move. So that's my little spiel on that, I guess. I know I'm wearing all black today, so the reel there for a second kind of didn't show up in the video, which is not the best quality in the world, but that'll have to do for now. Okay, this is like, we're all good here. Okay, so let's get back into it. So like when I'm working a pencil popper, as you saw there, you know, it's pretty important to keep your rod moving, and to try to get that rhythm down, and to with the rhythm being able to reel and keep the plug just enough in contact with the rod that it's working, and the plug will, and you'll know when it's working, because when a pencil popper is working correctly, the goal of that, the pencil, is for you to lay the line in an S pattern with, because what's gonna happen is the S, you're gonna be streaking the line out in an S pattern because of you're giving the line slack, and it's kind of in a whipping motion, giving the line slack out to one side and then giving the line slack out to the other side. And what you're essentially doing is you're you're lifting the top of the tip of the plug up with the line, and then you're reeling it to one side. So you're lifting the tip of the plug up, and then you're reeling it to one side, and then it's gonna get slapped down on the water. And so the goal is for it to almost be going, you know, 180 degrees to either side, you know, when you're working the plug. And what will happen is if you're really working the plug well and it's a good plug, it will throw a lot of water up in the air. Plugs that tend to cast further don't have as big lips to them. As you can see here, we have one plug that has a bigger cutout. This is a Mac Daddy, Pumba Mac Daddy plug, and it has a cutout to it. There's other different pencils, and I'll get into the different, I guess, types of pencils now. There's other pencils that, this is the Mac, or this is not the Mac Daddy, this is a Pumba Plug Octopus, and what Octopus Pencil Popper, or just like a popper, because you can also work this reeling it straight in, but this has more of a cup, like a traditional popper. But what he did is he actually, he made it a little bit flatter lip on the bottom. So you can work this as a pencil. That's the way I would work it. I'd say it's very similar to a, you know, I'd say it's very similar to, oh my gosh, I'm blanking, a Tsunami Talking Popper. Or, you know, so that's like, I'd say very similar, like mouth shape to that, kind of the similar way. Yeah, and this is like a, did I say octopus or squid? I don't know, I'm losing my mind, but yeah, so that's like, there's different poppers in the sense of having different shaped mouths, there's multiple reasons for this, some of which is wind resistance. You can cast a plug a lot further if it has less of a lip to it. It's a little bit more aerodynamic, and that's the beauty of a pencil popper in general. It's a very aerodynamic plug. When you cast it, really the only thing that's resisting it is the hooks. It's pretty much a missile. You cast it, and it's going to go very, very far away. And they tend to be one of my go-tos when it's blowing. When it's blowing out, you know, it's super windy. I love throwing pencils because not only do they get out there in harsh windy conditions, they also tend, if they're heavy enough, and this again all depends on the plugs that you're using. If you're using a super heavy plug, you can get it to start, I guess, like, you can get it to work easily on the surface. If it's a heavy plug, it's going to be, I guess it wouldn't be easy, but you're going to get it to work on the surface. And that's very important because you need that action of it walking or at least moving water for bass to come up and hit it. And what tends to happen in bigger storms, and I've thrown this during nor'easters, and I've thrown this when it's been blowing, you know, upwards of, there's one day where it was blowing, I kid you not, 65 miles an hour, or gusts to 65 miles an hour. It was, I think it was 50 mile an hour sustained winds. It was scary, like deficient. I had some winds that I had to crouch down because I thought I was going to get blown off the rocks. It was insane. Huge surf. And what I was doing, these giant waves, I was waiting for these sets to come in. And then once it would kind of like, you'd see the last big wave, you'd cast it out right behind it and you'd be working it right on top of this. And the water was super clear because of the wind. And what you'd see is sometimes you'd actually see a bass swim up in the middle of the wave and hit the plug on the surface. It was very, very cool to watch. It was, you know, and I had some of my best days in the fall throwing pencils and Magnum Walkers. But pencils can be such a versatile like plug because you can throw them when it's blowing 65 miles an hour out, and then you can throw them when it's completely flat, calm conditions, and they'll work equally as well. And sometimes they're the only plug that works. And that's very, and that's something that's the beauty of the pencil. I mean, there's lots of plugs that you can throw that work super well, you know, in flat, calm conditions. There's lots of plugs that you can throw that work super well in very rough surf conditions. There's very few plugs that work super well in both. And that's the beauty of a pencil, is that it works so well in both, and it also attracts larger fish. You tend to catch larger fish out of a school using a pencil. And even if it's a small fish, even when I was getting to the, in like fishing for me, when I was getting the most, I guess, picky for the fish that I was catching, I was getting frustrated catching schoolie-sized bass because all I wanted were those 20-pound bass. You know, I wasn't happy unless I was catching it like a bass that was pulling drag off of my Vansal VSX 200 when it was locked. You know, the drag was locked down. I wasn't happy unless I had a bass that was pulling drag off of that. So I was getting super picky. And, but I would still, if I was throwing a pencil or any sort of topwater, oh my gosh, even a little schoolie that was 15 inches come up and hit it, I'd be super happy because, you know, in my opinion, the best part of the fight, if it's not, a 40 inch fish, is that initial hit, because that's when the fish is like, you get like that, like, oh my gosh, you know, it like surprises you. The bass comes up and just pounds it, and you just see how crazy of a predator they are. And thinking like, if you like, how scary would it be, you know, because, and how good are they as predators? You know, they're that aggressive. How hard would it be for a bait fish to actually get away from one of these striped bass? Because they're so like, they're so quick. They're extremely, they can hit stuff on the surface with accuracy, even though sometimes you'd think that they're blind. I've had multiple times where I've had a plug hit out of the water 6 feet in the air 8 times before the fish doesn't eat it because it's for some reason coming up and whacking it, you know, without opening its mouth, which can be, it can be very frustrating when you're fishing and you have a bass come up and hit the plug multiple times. And so the thing is, when I've been fishing pencils, I think that there's two things that, you know, is kind of scary as far as that hookup. Number one, the pencil itself, it's very difficult for a bass to really get hooked well unless they inhale the plug. And I've had a lot of times where, you know, the bass comes up, eats the plug, barely gets hooked by one treble or one hook on the treble hook, and it can shake it pretty easily. Or you have that initial run and then it like pops off. But I've also had a lot of time where I've been very lucky, and I'll get into a story later, but I was super lucky to have landed multiple fish where the hooks were completely bent out, and these were 4X strong hooks. I've since then bumped all of my hooks up. You know, I'm pretty much not fishing anything less than 4X strong hooks, unless I'm fishing a very small plug and I know I'm not going to be catching very large fish. But if I even think I have a shot at catching a big fish, I'm fishing, you know, at least 4 to 8X strong hooks, VMC hooks. Sometimes I'll you know, mess around between that and Mustad. Mustad has come out with a new treble, which I really want to try out. There's a lot of hooks that I want to try out. I've single hooks on some of my plugs. This spring I'm doing barbless, so I'm going to be fishing mostly barbless hooks, and I'm so excited to get into the season. I'm so fortunate. I mean, I don't ask for this, but I've had a lot of guys, and hopefully some of you are listening, that have given me information about where the bass are, and they're like, I know you're dying to get on fish because I can see how much you striped bass fishing means to you. I just want you to know that the bass are in Connecticut or in Rhode Island, and so that's been super awesome to hear. And I had some guys from New Jersey say that they've been catching bass in March. They're DMing me and being like, we're catching, like, I've had to put down my small tackle setups because I've been catching huge, you know, 40 inch bass on, you know, on these, Danny plugs, and in the estuaries. So I've been having to throw my bigger gear on, and I've been using, the Danny plugs, and, that's awesome. That's really cool. I'm so happy that people are doing that. That means the world to me because I am absolutely itching to get out there. But one thing I did want to say is, the bass are in, As far as I know and what I've heard is there's bass in Rhode Island, migratory bass. I am posting this Wednesday night, probably pretty late. This will come up, but and it is already late. I'm filming this at what? It's 8:31 right now as I'm speaking, and I'll probably have this up by, I don't know, hopefully 10. But I'll have this up by 10. So I've heard within the last 24 hours that there's been people catching migratory schoolie bass with sea lice and everything in Rhode Island. So for sure there are bass in Rhode Island right now. I would guess that we will see some bass on the Cape in the next week. And by guess, I'm pretty much guaranteeing that, if not by the end of this week. I don't know for sure. I haven't had anybody tell me if they've got bass yet and are on the Cape, but I'm sure that people are going to either tell me soon or I will be hearing reports when the rest of you hear reports. The On the Water magazine does a great job. I do think, though, that they tend to be a half a week to a week late. As far as I've heard, I mean, myself, I've caught bass like a week before they said they were where they were. So, part of that is they are taking information and having to write this all down, you know, prior to publishing it. So, you know, it's understandable. So, but they do a fantastic job. It's pretty much on the money. Sometimes you can, and by sometimes I'm saying like, if you're lucky, you can hang out in the estuaries and see a few schoolie bass come in the week before they say they are there, but you have to really, everything has to be perfect. And for us on Cape Ann, I know there's a very small population of us, but there are. And I would pretty much guarantee us bass by the 20th of April, especially because of the new moon. There's a new moon, I think April 22nd. I would be shocked if we didn't have bass by April 22nd. I really would be, because that new moon is going to really have the bass pushing. If not by the 22nd, we will have them within the 5 days after that. Unless something crazy happens, which I don't foresee happening, we should have bass by then. And you can believe I'm going to be out there, you know, a week before the bass are going to be here fishing, waiting for these things. I will be one of the first to catch bass on Cape Ann for sure. Because if not, if there are people out there that fish, I know there's a lot of us that, you know, can get those holdover fish. Unfortunately, you know, I've been doing, if you've been following me on Instagram, at Striped Bass on Instagram, if you aren't coming from there, I'd be surprised if you weren't, but, I've been posting a little bit like on my story about holdover fishing and stuff. And, the fishing I've done horribly. I haven't caught anything. So, hopefully that makes some of you guys like, I'm not like any better. I've never caught it. Like, I really want to get good at holdover fishing, because this time of year is such a drag. And I know that there are some places that, people have been catching holdover bass, but, they're all places that are well known, and I want to find a place of my own, like I normally do. So yeah, it's the same thing for me. Like, I don't prefer to fish the canal, but I am fine to go fish the canal. And I love catching big fish, and if I have to go to the canal to do it, I'll do it. And if I have to chunk bait off, you know, I will chunk bait. I have nothing against it. You know, I do what I do to catch the biggest fish I can. But I just enjoy the actively fishing. And I've talked about actively fishing, but for me, I'm so like, I can't be spending like hours without getting fish interacting with my bait or interacting with me. As far as I need to know, like, if they're there, they're there. If they're not, they're not. I don't want to be wasting any time, you know, messing around. So, back to pencil popping. and something that I've talked about in the past is colors, and I've talked about different patterns, whether you'd be fishing a mackerel pattern or a bunker pattern, and do colors matter? I think especially for pencil poppers, I don't think colors matter as much, but then I always say colors don't matter until they do. And sometimes I have a great story that really sums this up perfectly. I was fishing at the Cape Cod Canal, and I was fishing, I think it was actually, I think it was my birthday. So it was mid-July. And I think it was mid-July. But I think it was around my birthday. And I was using, you know, I had macro colored plugs, I had bunker, I had yellow. So I was fishing a lot of like that normal, you know, colored plugs that you'd fish at the canal or just in general. And there happened to be a lot of squid around that day, and they wouldn't touch anything unless they had some sort of pink on them. If you had a pink sluggo or if you had a pink colored pencil popper, that was the only thing they were touching. And luckily I had a Wonder Bread colored pencil popper, and I got a schoolie or two, but there's nothing, like, it wasn't a crazy day, but there's nothing big. And the only reason I was actually there was because I was testing out Puma plugs, and yeah, we didn't do well at all. And I came back, and then that night I hooked a 45 inch bass that night. So that just shows you, sometimes, and where I fished was probably 20 minutes away from my house. So So I could either fish an hour and a half away from my house or 20 minutes away. So that's kind of what, you know, and I caught like a bigger fish than I did driving an hour and a half. I guess that's the risk you got to take, because some days you'll go there and you'll catch 30 fish over 40 pounds, and you can't really necessarily do that in your home waters unless something crazy is going down. I've never caught that many bass that big before, and I've seen people catch, you know, literally like almost 100 fish over 20 pounds out of the canal. Like, that's feasible to do in a day, especially if they're going crazy. And that's crazy that like there's that big a population of that large fish in that area. It's insane. Sorry, I'm just drinking my water. If you're like listening to this, you probably have no idea why there's been some pauses. Anyway, so color is important, but my favorite colors to throw for pencil poppers are yellow and white. My favorite, hands down. And I also like, you know, white over yellow, and, you know, straight out white are my favorite pencil popping colors. And the reason I like throwing white and yellow over white pencil poppers are because they tend to match most bait fish. And you'd think that like there's not a lot of bait fish that are yellow. Bunker do have like a yellowish tail, so sometimes that yellowy tint I know can really attract the fish. A lot of fish are not necessarily white, but there are silvery colored and whiter on the bellies. So I feel like white is always a great color to use. I mean, why not use a color that is fairly realistic? Now, if they are feeding on mackerel, mackerel is another great color. I do fish mackerel. I'm a big, supporter of fishing a plug that is realistic to the bait that you are, that's in the area. If the bass are feeding on squid, fish something that's pink. If the bass are feeding on bunker, fish something that's yellow, or fish something that is in bunker color. Or if they're feeding on mackerel, you know, blue, green, are all great colors for mackerel. Because mackerel are the most underrated, like the Atlantic mackerel are the most underrated fish, in my opinion. They fight extremely hard for how big they are, and they're really pretty colors, and they taste good as well. If you've ever eaten mackerel tastes better than bluefish, in my opinion. So mackerel is not bad at all. And for some reason, there's been this like extra like juiced up like hybrid mackerel that has been around the last few years. I don't know if any of you have noticed that, but at least around here, there's been some like mackerel that are just extra like thick across the shoulders. And they're like, I've caught them on the fly rod before fishing for striped bass, with like a little sand eel pattern, like, so I was tying flies. I've been like, because quarantine, you know, so I've been tying a lot of flies, and so I had a little, I talked about this in the last podcast, so like a little sand eel pattern here. You throw this out there, and I'm talking about an easy like 12 inch mackerel will come up and smash this, at least where I live. And I did a poll on my Instagram, And I had a lot of people talking about I posed the question, actually, I guess it wasn't a poll, but I posed the question of not the question, I guess, but I filmed a spot that I fished before, and I think I had three fish there that were all what, they're all like in the 30-inch range. I had one absolute monster, and this was on a huge pencil popper, and I'm talking about bigger than the Mac Daddy here. But absolutely like beasts, like huge, like way too big. And so I was fishing that, and I had three fish that were like in the low 30s, and then I had one that was probably in the high 30s to maybe 40 inches come up and hit it, all in the same spot. So I knew there was fish there. I knew, and I hadn't fished there a lot. There was a decent current swing, in that area. It was probably 8 feet deep, which I considered to be pretty shallow for what I was fishing. The reason I brought up this is because I had somebody comment, which is pretty interesting in my opinion. Somebody commented, I think they commented, 8 feet is deep for, in my opinion. I think that 10 feet is deep, and so 8 feet's like right there on the cusp of being, deep. And it didn't really, like, I didn't really like think about it myself because, like what I fished and what I had to really start trying to get away from was fishing these rocky cliffs that drop down easily 35 feet. And I know some of them drop off to be 60 feet, maybe 50 yards out there. So like easy cast away, you're 60 feet deep. And it's crazy. It's like you cast out these big jigs, and I've had times where the waves are like giant waves rolling in. You're like 25, 30 feet above where the water is, and you have these huge waves that are scaring the crap out of you. And you have this giant jig, and you cast as far as you can out there, and you have it sink down, sink down, sink down. And you're like losing a line, and no joke, it's dropping far, and then you're like jigging on the bottom. It's my least favorite way to fish, but I never really thought of that because a lot of people fish off of the sandy beaches where it's only 5 feet deep, or less, and are like in. I didn't really think about like the cliffs that we have, but regardless, the cliffs that we have hold mackerel like insane, and mackerel bonito. And so, like when I'm fly fishing, I know that I have a there. You can get on these schools of mackerel that are you can't fly fish with a fly that's small because they will eat it regardless. I've had them eat small SP minnows. I've had them go after small topwater plugs too, like little small pencil poppers. I've had the mackerel come up and whack them. And I've even hooked bass on little like chugging topwaters. The mackerel are out of control. And I know that like you fish a small fly there. I have a picture where I have these two mackerel. This is like way back, really before my Instagram, like before I really posted on my Instagram. But I have these two pictures. I have these two pictures of them, of pretty decent sized mackerel, and I caught them both on a fly rod. Cause in this spot, what happens all like constantly, and this is why I never really caught big fish there. And you'd think like, why would you not catch big fish there? Because there's this much bait. But I think that was the problem. I've seen the most mackerel I've ever seen in my life in this spot. I've seen mackerel that are over 500 yards of straight mackerel on the surface of the water. And them just like rolling on the surface of the water, just hundreds of yards of this. And it's insane. I don't know if anybody else has ever seen this. And what the mackerel do is, I think it's called winding, because so what they do is they kind of jump over themselves. And they're feeding or they're escaping from bait. I know this happens when people are tuna fishing. That's the way I've heard this term before. When somebody was tuna fishing and they're talking about the mackerel are winding on the surface, and who knows? I mean, it's technically deep enough in that area that there could have theoretically been a small tuna in that area. And it was, you know, again, it was deep in that spot. That spot drops off to be 60 feet. I've heard that on the islands that are just off of that beach, that I've heard people would catch small tuna there to the point that there were years that people were fly fishing for the tuna, for bluefin tuna. And that is a dream of mine, catching a bluefin tuna on like a spinning reel or a fly rod. I think that would be insane, especially a fly rod. I mean, if I ever had that opportunity, I would jump at it because that's crazy. That would be so awesome to fly fish for a tuna. I think that would be nutty. Anyway, but the mackerel were insane, and what happens in this area is there's just so much bait that if there are any big fish around, the bass really don't care. When I've, the only places that I've ever had my greatest success at are places that hold just tons of Atlantic menhaden. I've had times where I've had these Atlantic menhaden just kind of tailing on the surface in a big circle, and you'll see, like, every once in a while they'll, like, jump, or not jump, but, like, get angry, you know, like they're getting fed on, and you throw these big pencils at them, and that's when I've had my greatest success as far as pencil popping in general, is when they're going after some sort of bait fish, because it just gets that reaction strike. Forget about fishing them when it's during a blitz. Pencil poppers are the best to fish when it's blitzing, hands down. If you have, like, a small peanut bunker blitz in the fall, you have the Pumbaa Big Eye right here. This is a heavy plug. It's a little bit, it's a thick plug too. So it looks like a decent size peanut bunker. And I've had bass, you know, 35 inches on this in late fall. And I have a video on my Instagram of last fall. It was late October, and I caught a 30-some-odd-inch bass on this, so it's pretty cool. That thing was producing. They weren't necessarily feeding, but it was definitely a big migratory school of fish. But as far as, like, location goes for pencil popping, it works in so many different scenarios. You can throw it in the Cape Cod Canal where the current is six knots and, like, whatever, you know, it's insane current, and the thing is kind of just skipping across the surface, and all you're doing there is, you don't need to necessarily reel there at all, and that's a good scenario. You're not necessarily reeling there, you're just working your pencil, and it's getting moved at a decent enough rate across the surface of the water that it's catching your line, and that you can work the pencil, and that's when you have these Goliath fish come up and just pound them on the surface. And then you can also work it in super flat, calm water with no current. And you can work it where it's super deep. And that's something that I think that I've had spots where are deeper, and I've always thought, okay, the bass are going to be hugging the bank. Not necessarily. I was thinking about this, that there are boulders down there, but they're way down there. So when I'm fishing, I need to think in my head, I want to cast further out from where I'm fishing, because maybe what's going to happen is if there's a bass super deep down, it's going to hear the commotion that this pencil has, and it's going to hear the commotion on the surface, and then it's going to come up where no other plug that you could theoretically get down deep enough to get to those fish would get the fish riled up enough to come up and even attempt to whack the plug. And that is something that is very unique to the pencil popper, is it's very loud and aggressive, and it gets those fish's attention. Especially if they're not necessarily feeding aggressively, they still will, they'll go after an attack. So structure that I like to fish, I like fishing boulder fields with a little bit of current. And I talked about fishing where you have big waves. One of my favorite times to throw pencils in general are in the fall, and when it's a storm, like any sort of storm where the wind is blowing in pretty strong and you can't get any other plug out there, getting a pencil popper out there can really get the bass up to the surface, and really getting it a plug out to where the fish are is sometimes the most difficult thing. And you don't want to necessarily jig an area because it's super shallow and the waves are really big. So what you want to do is you want to throw a pencil and get it out there and get it on top of the surface, and you tend to get these bigger reaction strikes where you have a big fish waiting and waiting and waiting for a bait fish, and then it sees your plug and it jumps at the chance to hit it. And I've had, but I like Current too. If you have a little bit of current going through a rocky area, and I always talk about I want wind, but there's I was talking to someone, and he said that don't focus so much on wind, and which got me thinking of a spot that I fished that I just can't, I can't in my mind, if I don't have a good onshore wind, I don't want to fish there because I think the fish are going to get pushed off. But if there's no wind, sometimes the pencil, you can easily, you can work a pencil way easier when the wind isn't as strong. And that's, you know, and that's something that like is so useful. If it's not super choppy, it's going to be way easier to work a pencil way better. And you want to like, so I was thinking about that, and I was like, okay, I'm going to dedicate some good tides in some spots to throwing pencils in next season. So this coming season, and hope that I can get onto some bigger fish in some more aggressive fish in these shallower, not shallower necessarily, but calmer areas and or calmer water. Let's just put that out there, just calmer water. And then the other place where I've used pencils is over rips. You have a rip and the current's moving across the rip pretty decent, and you cast up current and you just work it into the rip, and I've had nice fish come out of there. I know that that is a great way, especially in the like springtime, if you can find a rip either in an estuary or just at the mouth of a river that kind of leads into an estuary where you know that there are alewife are coming out, they're going to get up and into those rips, and that's where the bass are going to be staged, especially in the spring. And that's a little hint to where I'm going to be fishing this year to start out my season on the Cape. I'm going to fish a spot where I know there's alewife coming into a river, and I guess it's not a river, I don't know, it's just an estuary. So coming into an estuary, and there's a point, and there's kind of a rip in that area too. So that's a little hint to, I guess, the structure that I'm looking at here. I'm looking at a spot that I know that there's alewife, and I know that the bass are going to be feeding, wanting to feed on the alewife, so they're going to be in that area. Theoretically, I could probably go to that area anytime right now, and I'd be betting that there could be fish in that area, because that's like what I'm thinking right now is you could fish on the Cape right now. Like I would be fishing every good tide from now until the fish show up, which would be within 5 days for you on the Cape, especially, you know, if you're like near an estuary or you're fishing in an estuary area, or at least not on the, or on the south side. I don't know. North? I don't know. I can't, whatever. But yeah, I'd be in that area. And so that's where I would be thinking of fishing. And one of the greatest ways to start your season off right is with bass on the surface of the water. And I love throwing pencils in the spring because I feel like the bass are extra aggressive in the spring. And what you might be thinking, like not super, super early spring, but I think that like that mid spring, I'd say mostly May for a lot of people. Once it gets into like early May, that's when it's like, that's when I want to be throwing pencils. Like that's when it's going to be really good pencil popping, because the bass are super aggressive, and during the day they're really aggressive. It doesn't matter if it's 12 o'clock and sunny out, you can still catch a big fish. I guess it's a good segue into my story. So I was talking I was fishing with my brother, who's actually someone that's been on this podcast at the beginning when I was just starting out. We were just figuring everything out here. I brought him out fishing, and we've talked about the story before, and I think I've taken him like fishing with a pencil popper maybe one other time before then. So he had somewhat of a knowledge of how to fish a pencil, but he did need a little bit of like a refresher in how to fish a pencil popper. And I told him, I was like, remember, when you're fishing the pencil popper, just focus on keeping tension to the plug, but don't focus on reeling the plug in. And when I was teaching him how to use a pencil, I used that exact same analogy, and it worked perfectly. I was teaching another person how to fish earlier this season. I said the exact same thing to them, or to him, and he almost instantly got it up, like got picked up the knowledge, and like worked pencil. And I heard that he was doing incredibly well on the pencil and had a lot of, you know, great topwater eats on the pencil. So I was fishing with him, and we were fishing in a spot, and I was using a pencil popper, and we were fishing. It was noon. It was June 8th, something like that. It was early June. So for us on Cape Ann, I guess this would be like if you were, I'd say this would probably be the equivalent of like maybe mid-May for people on the Cape, and probably the equivalent of late April for people in New Jersey, or early April, I guess, for people. It depends on where you are, but that's like what I would say the equivalent, like pretty much it was like the first, we were probably one of the first people to get a bass of that size. That's like just as the bigger fish show up. And this was a high 20-pound bass, almost 30 pounds, should have been 30 pounds, but it was very sickly. It was a sickly fish. I'm dying here. My throat's drying out. So we were fishing the spot, and I knew earlier that week I fished there with a Magnum Walker, so walking plug, and I had him. I caught a 30 incher in that spot, and I was like, this is. But as I was reeling in that 30 incher, I was standing in probably knee deep water with waves that were surging into knee deep water and then sucking out to the rock being dry that I was standing on. And and so I was fishing the spot, and I hooked a low 30 incher, and I reeled in and I swung it up onto the rock, and I had this 40, like easily, I called it, I said it was an over 40 inch bass. It came up under the rock, it kind of flapped sideways on the rock and slid back into the water. Meanwhile, I'm like losing my mind. I could have reached out and grabbed it, but I'm like losing my mind. I'm like, what just happened? And so I knew that there was big fish in the area. After that, I was like, hands down, they're big fish now. We didn't start out there. We started out probably 100 yards to the left of it, of that spot. And, I was fishing, at like these, like, you know, I was fishing in the spot. I hooked a schoolie, and it was like one of those days that, you know, you're not going to do well. Like I had this theory. I was like, we're not catching fish today. We're going to catch a few schoolies if we're lucky, and that's it. And so I was like, okay, let's go to the land of the giants. And I just talked up the spot. I was talking it up and talking it up. And normally when you talk something up, you land flat in your face. But I was like, we're catching a 40, like there's 40 inches here. We're totally going to catch a 40 inch bass. And so we get there, first cast, I'm working my spook, and he has a pencil on, and, I'm not really paying attention because I'm getting blown up on. We cast it out kind of in the same area. I'm a little ahead of him. He's a little behind me. And then I get this massive school of like 25 inches come up. They're all like wolf packing on me. And then just, you know, sneakily, he had his plug behind me. So I distracted all the little fish. I just see out of the corner of my eye, this plug just go disappear under the water, just gone. And then he's like, oh my God, I'm on. And then I see this like giant fish rolling, and I'm like, this is 20 pounds easy all day. I said, that's a 20 pounder. That's a 20 pounder. It was rolling. It just was doing corkscrews. It was hooked right in the mouth. Like the plug, like what it did is if this is its mouth, it just sucked the plug all the way into its mouth, like all the way into its mouth. And he was reeling it in. I grabbed my boga. I put the boga in its mouth. Got it up, and I lift the thing out. The angler's clip that I had on the plug falls off, and I'm like completely bent open, and the hook hanger, The split ring. Wow, that I got there eventually. The split ring was completely bent open. One of the hooks fell out of the mouth. The other hook was completely mangled and bent open. And this was a 4X strong VMC. That just shows you the power of the fish. Didn't pull a click of drag the entire time he fought the fish. And his drag was not by any means tight. He was not up for success. In that area, it is incredibly rocky. There's a pretty decent current. And yeah, I mean, if that was not a sickly fish that ended up actually dying, even though we never took it out of the water, if it wasn't for it being such a sickly fish, he probably would have been done. He had what, maybe 30 pound, I think I had 40 pound mono leader on his thing. So he was not, like, again, this is super early. This is like when you would say, like on Cape Ann, I would say you probably have a shot at something in the mid to high 30 inch range if you're lucky. I would say it's very unlikely you get something 30 pounds, like so unlikely. And he got one that was 30 pounds. And then I was like, okay, hands, like, my job's done here. I just got this kid on the biggest fish of his life. And it was awesome because we were like, pencil popper did the work. It pulled a fish in the middle of a sunny day when there's no, there's no wind, there's no clouds. It was, you know, it was one of the warmer days. It was probably in the high 70s. Although the water's still pretty cool, it was like a nice, nice day, and we just went out for fun and happened to get into an amazing fish. And the story of that is that fish did die. And what happened was we took the fish, I landed the fish by getting the boga into its mouth. We slid the fish up into the rock. I took the fish. I set it in a tide pool, which was getting fed by fresh water the entire time. And he sat there on his knees in the tide pool. He lifted up the fish. We took a few photos. We put it back in the water. I proceeded to figure eight it. Or he proceeded to, like, I was like, okay, let's release the fish. And the fish kicked off. And so he let go and we watched the fish kick off. And then I see the fish flip over belly up, and it's probably 30 feet out there in deep under the water. He dives into the water. He swims out. He dives down. He said it was probably over 10 feet deep there. He dove down. He grabbed the fish. We brought it back. I proceeded to figure eight it for 30 minutes. You know, literally, he was fishing and I was figure eighting it for 30 minutes, trying to get this fish to be alive. And then it started to bleed. And then it was over. I was like, what can you do at that point? The fish was sick. It was also missing a huge chunk of its mouth. Like, it was skinny. It was 34 inches, and it was what, maybe 28 pounds, I think. And 34. It was 43 inches. Sorry. And it was missing a huge chunk of its mouth and whatever. And it was super skinny. It should have been a 30-pound bass. It should have been a low 30-pound bass. But it was what, 28 pounds, I think. 29 pounds. I don't know. Do I have a video of me saying it? I think I do. But whatever. I'll look later anyway. But yeah. So it just ended up dying. And when we were walking it back, up the beach, and so he's holding the fish in his hand like this on the boga, and we're like walking it back. And some lady said to us, "Do you catch anything?" As he's walking by her with a 43-inch bass. And we're like, and he was like, "What?" Just let that sink in. We walked by a lady and she asked us, "Did we catch anything?" when he's holding a 43-inch bass in front of him. You know, I don't know what whatever. So that was pretty interesting. Yeah. I mean, I haven't posted any of the pictures of that bass after it died, because it's a long story of why it died and how I try my best to keep it alive. And what can you do at that point? I mean, I release all my fish. The most is if I gut hook a fish, if it's bleeding, I'll harvest it. But if it's not bleeding, I cut the line and release it. And now if you hook a bass over 35 inches and it's like dying, like, that bass we could no longer keep. So because of the new regulations. So keep that in mind. That's pretty crazy. I mean, I know that there's stores. I mean, there's everybody's done it. There's times where you hooked a fish bad and the fish has died and it's been either under legal size and you can't keep it. I know some people do if it does die, because there's absolutely, and I mean zero, like I've never seen any like game wardens ever. I've never been checked for my license in the 5 years that I've really been fishing. I've been with people with, in the 5 years that I've been fishing, I've either fished with a license or I've fished next to somebody that has license, and I've never, ever, ever had a game warden come up to me and check my license ever. So that needs to change, because with that not being the case, there's no way that you can have regulations on striped bass, because it doesn't exist. If there's nobody reinforcing it, why would anybody ever follow the rules? It's like we need police to enforce rules, like, you know, driving at the speed limit and stuff like that, not stealing or murdering anyone. And if we didn't have police officers doing that, or if we had one police officer doing that, I don't know how many there are. I've seen the car, but there's like one guy. And so here's, and so if that was the case, there's one officer, nobody would ever follow the rules. That's the thing. If we only have one game warden, nobody would ever follow the rules. So hopefully there's something, like, I think that's really where it starts and ends, you know, with a big problem is there's a lot of people that just don't follow the rules because they can get away with it. You know, and I was thinking, like, if I, you know, if I kept every single fish that I caught in the past 5 years, like, there would, like, that would be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of fish. Thousands of fish. And somebody could potentially have the ability to catch thousands and thousands of fish and keep every single one of them. So that's, like, mind-boggling to me, because I know there's probably people that do it. And that's the thing. There are people that do it and are not licensed in being, you know, like harvesting the fish. Wow, I am having a hard time, like, thinking of words, but which is great when you're doing a podcast. But anyway, so that's just pretty crazy to me, you know, when I'm thinking about stuff like that. And so I want to get back into the equipment. And the equipment side of throwing pencil poppers are, I prefer having, well, this is what I prefer having. As I kind of talked about it a little bit, I want to have that lighter tip to the rod. But if I am throwing a heavier pencil and I want a plug, or I want a rod that can throw that heavier pencil but is not going to be super stiff to the point that you can't throw the plug. And a great rod, I like throwing, like, the Lamaglass GSB series rods are all, in my opinion, all almost perfect pencil popping rods. Like, they're great pencil popping rods, because also, like, them being one piece as well helps a great deal. I don't know if they make a double, split, but rod, I don't know, but anyway, one piece, I like having a slower action reel. So something that doesn't, like, slower action reel. Wow. I like having a reel that doesn't pick up a lot of line, so like a lower gear ratio, I guess. So I like Van Stahls do a great job because they don't pull in a lot of line, so it's much easier to gauge how much line you're picking up when you're working a pencil versus using like a Stella, like a Shimano Stella or a Daiwa Dogfight, something that like pulls a lot of line in, has a lot of line pickup. So if you have a little bit less line pickup, same thing for the like fishing with eels and fishing with pencils. You want that slower gear ratio so you can really control how much line you're pulling in. It's a lot, makes it a lot easier to fish with a pencil. I also like fishing with the larger rods. If I'm fishing and I know pencils tend to catch big fish. If there's a big fish in the area, you have a potential to catch it. And I learned that the hard way. I was fishing in a spot and I was fishing with one of my GSB Skinner rod, which has caught my biggest fish of the season. But this is one of the only bass, and I am shocked and I'm going to be cursed for the rest of my life. But I only lost one, I only lost one fish of like size, in my opinion, the entire year. The rest of the fish I all landed. that one fish was one of the first fish. It was one on a pencil, and it was like it was probably a week after the one that my brother caught on the pencil. I was in the same area. I was throwing the pencil. I've talked about the story. We were actually snorkeling in that area. I swam out to this rock, and I was casting out there. First cast out there. I'm working my pencil, and I was catching schoolies. You know, I was catching 20-inch schoolies. So, and I had a really small pencil on there. I was not expecting anything big. I was just looking for some schoolie bass, and then all of a sudden, I just get swallowed by a massive, probably, I don't know, 20-pound fish. And it just screams drag because I have my drag fairly loose. So I'm like tightening down my drag. And then it screams drag, one big run, two big runs. And then I'm like, okay, I'm like getting the hold of this fish. I'm starting to get some, you know, feet back onto the reel. And then all of a sudden it runs again. I didn't really hear or didn't really feel what happened, but my leader just got snapped right in the middle. And I was using 50-pound mono. And that was the last time I used 50-pound mono since then. I have not used 50-pound mono. I've switched over to fluorocarbon, and I have not used I have 50-pound fluorocarbon, and I only fish it when I'm in the estuaries or when I'm fishing off the sandy beaches. I hate throwing anything less than that when I know there's big fish around, because pencils catch big fish. That's the thing. You can't expect to use a small pencil popper and not have the potential to hook a big fish, even if you're in a back bay estuary or somewhere that you don't think there's a big fish. Because what happens if there is? You know, like in my scenario, yeah, that area does hold big fish. I had zero expectations because, again, broad daylight. And again, thinking in my mind, I rarely fished during the day last year because I thought, oh, I'm probably not going to catch anything. And I've had two scenarios now, almost hold up three fingers again. I have two scenarios now where I've hooked giant fish during the middle of the day. So in my opinion, there is that chance that there are big fish around, especially on good tides. And during the day, there's no better plug than a pencil to pull a big fish. Really isn't. In my opinion, you can't really beat a pencil. You have a Magnum Walker, like a walking style spook plug. A spook is probably the only other type. Like walking spook plugs are probably the only other plug that I would say come close to as automatic as pencils. And sometimes the spooks are more and sometimes the pencils are more. They're pretty much 50-50 for getting size and just sheer like aggressive strikes. I'll do a podcast on the Magnum Walkers, like walking style plugs. I don't think I've done that yet. I've talked a lot about the plugs, but pencils are very, very versatile, and I feel like I need to have a podcast with somebody that uses pencils more than me at some point, because I do use them a lot. They're one of my favorite plugs to throw, but there are people that are way better at throwing pencils than me. I feel like I'm good at throwing pencils because I can work a pencil very well and pretty consistently, but there are people that are better than I am at throwing pencils. I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. And I'm wearing my SBH t-shirt. This is going to support the if you haven't seen these, this is going to be supporting the Striped Bass Hunt show. It has SBH right here in the shape of a fish, and then it has the podcast logo on the back, which is me holding a fish. And it's a super sick t-shirt. It's a great material. And I would love if you guys could pick up some of these t-shirts, because I know it's tough and it's a hard time to pick up t-shirts because of the whole pandemic. But if you haven't seen like the show, or if you haven't seen what we can do, we are going to be coming out with a trailer for the SBH show, or the Striped Bass Hunt show. And the show is not just going to be based on me fishing, although there are going to be multiple times where I'm the one that is fishing, and it's based around me just fishing with different techniques, different tactics, and different locations. I am also going to be trying to fish with some awesome, really like fishermen that are way better than me and way cooler. And so hopefully that I can make that happen, and the podcast is, or the show is awesome, and you guys enjoy it. Anyway, thank you guys for watching this podcast and listening to it. I hope you guys enjoyed, and I will see you next time.